So this came across my news desk earlier this month. Quinnipiac University had hosted a workforce roadshow, and it highlighted specific industries. The first up, though, was manufacturing, which caught my eye. I also noticed that many students in our listening area, including some in Ansonia and Milford, attended this roadshow. And I thought, let's talk about manufacturing. It's been a hot minute. Manufacturing is a huge industry here in Connecticut specifically, and there's been a real local effort in recent years to highlight manufacturing, to attract young people to the industry, but also to clear up misconceptions about how manufacturing works in today's world compared to how it used to be decades ago. So joining us now, the perfect person to talk about this, is our chief manufacturing officer for the state of Connecticut, Paul Lavoie, which, by the way, unless Paul corrects me now in the next couple of seconds, I believe we are still the only state in the country that has a chief manufacturing officer and has really made this a point to focus on for our local government. So, Paul, we're so glad that you're back on the show. How are you?
Well, I'm great, Melissa. Good morning. And I'm going to verify that you are still correct.
Yes.
I am still the only chief manufacturing officer in the United States.
That's what I thought. I think that's so neat. Yeah. I just think that's a fun factoid, like two truths and a lie. I don't know how many times you use that whenever you have icebreaker events, but it's such a good one. It really is.
I use it often. I often say that I just came back from a convention of national chief manufacturing officers, which meant I was driving in my car.
Yeah. So. I like it. Well, Paul, welcome back to the show. We love being able to talk to you about manufacturing and also just the opportunities that are available to so many people in our state. First of all, let's talk about manufacturing in general and maybe discuss some of the misconceptions people have. When you hear manufacturing, I could see it now, there are still parents out there who are saying, I don't want Junior working in a factory. I don't want it. I don't see my son or daughter graduating high school and going this route. Tell me why that is a very extinct conception of what manufacturing is in 2024, especially here in Connecticut.
Sure. So I'll give you something that's very, very, a little bit more interesting than that as well. We recently did a research study to figure out what is the perception of manufacturing in our young people and in their parents. And we always had this perception. It was our assumption that their perception was that it was dark, dirty, and dangerous. It was something their grandfather had done, pictures of history of, coal factories and, places where people were dirty and all of that. And we thought, well, wow, it's not like that now. It's all high tech. It's all clean and all of that. But what we found out, Melissa, which is fascinating, is that most people had no perception of manufacturing.
Really?
Apparently, everybody thinks that things are magically made and then show up on Amazon. And so the point that we try to make is everything in your life was made by somebody. I mean, you think about, everything that you do, it was made by somebody. So we realized that we had to create a perception of manufacturing and why manufacturing is so important to the economy, but more importantly, how manufacturing jobs are generational changing, life-altering jobs, because they provide young people with tremendous opportunities to be able to make a very good living and to have a tremendous potential for growth in their career as well. So the roadshows are part of this mission to be able to introduce kids to manufacturing and to introduce them to the things that are made here in Connecticut, and to talk about how really open up their eyes to say, this is a whole area of career opportunities that, you're basically being unexplored because nobody really understands it anymore. So you'll see, we're going to start promoting really what we make here in Connecticut and how important manufacturing is in our lives.
I think that's so interesting, though, Paul. So let me understand this. When prompted about what we think manufacturing looks like, the perception of it, overwhelmingly, people just didn't even have a definition, like not even going back to, hey, when grandpa used to work in those really dingy, dirty factories, like that didn't even come up. Just kind of nothing came up. Wow.
Yeah. And we have a whole generation, though, Melissa, of people, and those are the parents right now, of people who just, we're all encouraged to go to college and not to think of trades.
That's my career.
Yep.
But I still think it's interesting, though, Paul, because, you know, yeah, while I'm raising kids, I know you have children who are also starting to raise their own children as well. I think that's just so interesting that the idea of just that was no perception. But I will agree in the sense that we have a very skewed outlook of what comes after high school graduation, which is why I'm so glad you're talking about manufacturing opportunities and really highlighting all the different sectors you can go into under this umbrella, because we do have a very broken viewpoint of what kids do after high school. And I think we're slowly, like I think my generation of parenting, I think we're slowly trying to normalize, hey, a four-year college doesn't need to be your end game. There are other options and fields and certifications and trades and even job opportunities that are out there once you graduate from high school. So you're right. I think the storyline hopefully is starting to change with this current, I would think, generation of parents, young parents.
Yeah, we're starting to see the numbers of kids at high schools that are going on to four-year degrees or going on to two-year schools or in the military dropping significantly. You know, school districts that used to be in the 90s, 90% of those kids, 95% of those kids, we're seeing numbers in the low 80s, high 70s. And so, you know, what we believe is that college is becoming unaffordable for a certain percentage of the population, and there's really no option. They don't really see any other option. And I want to just note that I'm not anti-college. I think everybody has their own path and everybody has a way to be educated. And I think that's what it's really about right now. It's how do we find the most important path for a student that's going to lead to success, not just, you know, a way that we might be measuring in our school system. So, you know, if we're very careful about understanding a student's goals, understanding what their opportunities are, and then setting them up for success by finding the right career path.
I totally agree. And look, I'm a college grad myself. I love that I had the opportunity to go to college. I cannot still thank my parents enough for saving the money to send us all to college. Absolutely. I do love, though, that we are at least not putting all kids in this box that I felt like our generation went through. You know, me, my siblings, your children, like we went through the perception that if you took a gap year, you were a loser. That was it. There was no, you didn't take a gap year. That just, you know, because I think our parents' generation, they worked so hard to have the opportunity to go to college. And then when they saved all this money to give their kids a better future, it, you know, not going to college just seemed like a failure. And so I'm glad we're at least changing the dialogue that college isn't the end all. Still a fantastic option for kids, but it doesn't mean it's for everyone. So I love that you said that.
Great. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Is what's the definition of success? And to make sure that kids that are, you know, going into the workforce, listen, they're going pro. That's what we say. They're going pro. They're going pro 4 years early. Right. So and so they're going to be starting to make money. And we need to make sure that that's normalized and in fact celebrated that, you know, that they've chosen a different path, but that path is right for them.
We have Connecticut's chief manufacturing officer on the phone with us, Paul Lavoie, back on the show. And I always love chatting with Paul about the manufacturing industry and all the opportunities we have here in Connecticut. Right before the break, Paul, you said these are students who graduate from high school, and we like to say they are going pro early, which means they're bypassing college and they're getting right into the manufacturing industry. But what a lot of people may not realize, Paul, are a lot of the opportunities you have in manufacturing. What types of jobs can you get, especially just out of high school, when it comes to working in manufacturing?
Great question. So, you know, manufacturing jobs are skill jobs, right? And so you need to have some kind of basic skills. And so generally a machine operator is a great entry-level position, but you're going to need some training. So if you're coming right out of high school, we have some great programs at Housatonic, for example, and we're going to have one that's coming at the University of Bridgeport, where you can go through an 8 or a 12-week training program and get some basic skills to enter the manufacturing space as a machine operator. And that's generally, you know, and by the way, a machine operator is it's a CNC, computer numerical controlled machine. So you're basically learning how to how to program a machine and make sure that the machine is running and to be able to test the parts that are coming off of there. And so that's generally for a high school student, one of the best entry level places to be able to come into manufacturing. And again, there are jobs in quality control that maybe there's a training available. You know, manufacturers do a tremendous amount of training. The state of Connecticut supports all of our manufacturers with a training grant. So any training that they do, they can get a training grant from the state of Connecticut. So we're really investing in young people coming into manufacturing, coming into these roles, and being able to start their career in manufacturing. And then from there, you know, the sky's the limit as to where kids can go.
Okay, and this is the fun part, Paul, because I always love to see people's eyes just bulge out of their head when they realize that there are manufacturing opportunities at companies that are very familiar to the everyday resident here in Connecticut. Do you mind name-dropping some places, some Connecticut companies that proudly are part of the manufacturing club?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about Connecticut manufacturing, I think we all know, well, we don't all know, I assume we all know the big three, right? So the big three in Connecticut is number one in aircraft engine and airplane parts manufacturing. We have Pratt & Whitney, which is the founder of the aircraft engine in East Hartford, Connecticut. We also make helicopters out of Sikorsky right out in Stratford with plenty of places in Bridgeport as well. And we're number two in the country in shipbuilding. And you might say shipbuilding, and that's because we build submarines here in the state of Connecticut. But, you know, outside of those big three, there are tremendous companies. There's 4,568 manufacturers in the state of Connecticut. And outside of the top 25 manufacturers, the average size of a manufacturer is 23 people. So right in the, you know, right in the greater Bridgeport area, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of manufacturers that make some really, really cool things. You know, we have companies that make microboard processors. We have companies that make controls for games, you know, gaming controls. We have a company in the area, you know, the seal that you have on all the potato chip bags?
Mm-hmm.
They invented a water-based seal that's safe. So every time you open up a potato chip bag or a sugar packet or anything like that, that sealant is invented and made in Shelton, Connecticut.
That is so random and awesome. It's so cool.
Yeah. And we also have the world's largest organic snack factory in Connecticut. That's in Danbury. You might have heard of Lesser Evil Popcorn. And, you know, and certainly, in, you know, we have the world's largest non-alcoholic brewing facility in Milford, Connecticut with Athletic Brewing. And, you know, we still make wiffle balls in Shelton, Connecticut. And, you know, I could really, you know, I actually, you know, things that I learned. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a manufacturer, and we know you buy a can of WD-40 and has that little red tube.
Yeah.
All of those little red tubes on every can of WD-40 are made in Plainville, Connecticut.
Again, so cool, so random.
Well, excuse me, Plymouth, Connecticut. In Plymouth, Connecticut. But yeah, so just when you start to, you know, when you really start to understand and learn, it really is this wide spectrum of parts, but we're really known here in Connecticut for aerospace and shipbuilding specifically. And, you know, I like to say all the time, you can't fly without Connecticut. Anytime that you get on a plane, there's going to be several companies that have manufactured parts for those airplanes. So we keep the world safe.
That's amazing. And Paul, again, I just want to reiterate for people who are listening going, this all sounds really exciting and it sounds like it could be a great fit for my kid. How many of those jobs require a college degree?
You know, it's a depends on the manufacturer, but, you know, you could be anywhere from the 50-50 split in a manufacturing operation.
Wow.
Where half of them don't require a degree at all. I mean, some of my greatest moments running a manufacturing business was going out on a shop floor and having a degreed engineer talking to a, you know, high school graduate that's running a machine and say, here, we just got this new order. We want to make this part. And the machinist looking at the engineer and saying, hey, that's a great part, but you're not making that on this machine. And to watch the machine operator school the engineer on how to actually design parts for machinability. And that's the, you know, that's the street smarts versus the book smarts coming together and working very closely together to make sure they're satisfying customer needs. So, and when you look at that on the shop floor, they're equals, right? They're out there on the shop floor and they're both talking to each other with a degree of mutual respect, because they both have a certain set of expertise that they bring to the conversation. So it's always great to see how well people work together on the manufacturing floor and how much they respect each other.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. That's incredible. And again, there's just so many opportunities. And I think it's really great to have conversations like the one we're having with Paul right now, because it also helps kids to have a better idea of what their future can look like. I mean, so many students will graduate high school, and again, absolutely no offense to a college, but they will enroll as undecided because they just don't even know where they want to go, what options are out there, what companies are looking for. And so when you can even start to put an idea in a kid's head as to, you could be building this, you could be creating this, you ever know that this was actually manufactured right here in Connecticut, it sparks the interest and at least makes somewhat of a picture a little bit clearer after graduating from high school. So, Paul, I want to thank you for having this conversation today. If people want more information before the next road show or any kind of workforce event in Connecticut, where can they go? Is there a platform or a website or anything where people can get more information and maybe check out a roadshow coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a roadshow coming up to the University of Bridgeport on May 15th. So it's coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be in Bridgeport at the Wheeler Rec Center. It's really 9 to 6, but 9 to 12 is a roadshow where we bring middle and high school students in. And then there's a job fair from 3 to 6. But you can go to manufacturing.ct.gov. That's manufacturing.ct.gov. That's our website for the Office of Manufacturing here in the state of Connecticut. And that has links to all of our events and the resources that we have available for people to really find careers in manufacturing.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for the work that you do as Connecticut's Chief Manufacturing Officer and for always making the time to come on WICC. I truly appreciate it.
Well, Melissa, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to highlight this wonderful, wonderful industry that we have in Connecticut that helps drive our economy and provide people with great careers.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate it, and
thanks,
certainly will be talking again soon. Paul Lavoie, again, the Chief Manufacturing Officer for the state of Connecticut and the only Chief Manufacturing Officer in the country, because we're the only state that has made this a priority and put this into our government, which is pretty cool, right here on WICC.